The Radio Ashford Feel Good Hour with Sam Griffin and Nigel Jones. Get set for the weekend with a healthier, happier you. Friday lunchtime from 12:30 on the Sam Griffin Show. Radio Ashford 1071 FM. Or on your smart speaker.
Welcome to the Radio Ashford Feel Good Hour, the show that helps you feel lighter, brighter and firmly back in the driver's seat. Today we're diving into Christmas drinks, why alcohol creeps up at this time of year, how it affects our bodies and minds, and we're joined now by the lovely Nigel Jones. How are you?
Hi Sam, I'm great. And that band, they're great. Play that jingle. It's so fantastic. Good.
Life coach, hypnotherapist, NLP practitioner, author of Walking Back to Happiness and founder of 9 kilometers by 9 a.m. Nigel Jones, everybody.
Great to see you. Ramble. Good to be back on the Feel Good Hour.
It's so good to have you back. How the devil are you?
I'm really good. It's been a good week. Christmas is kicking in.
I know. Yes. It's feeling very festive. It's very toasty in here as well, so it makes it all even cozier.
Yes.
Now, you know, we're diving into drinking over the festive period.
Yeah.
Which for some, they fear it. Yeah. You know, they worry about it. But others are like, yeah, let's go for it.
Yeah.
We've got all those different people. So we're going to kind of talk about everyone in that mix.
Yep.
Why does alcohol consumption rise so sharply around this time of year? You know, come on, I know that we're having a couple of days off, but it's any other day of the year.
It becomes normalised. I mean, the figures show that December is by far the highest month for drinking. And there's a load of reasons, really. I mean, I suppose we do more drinking in 3 weeks than we do in the 3 months before in December. And it's because there's just lots of parties going on. It's the end of the year, time to celebrate. And it almost like becomes like a just one more culture sort of slips in as well.
Yeah.
And
just one more night out.
Yeah, exactly.
Just one more drink.
Exactly. And I suppose we drink more because there's more parties, there's more get-togethers, but there's also more overwhelm as well.
Yeah.
I mean, people feel stressed for lots of different reasons or anxious, and that could be from financial reasons or, you know, just buying gifts and having a lot more on your plate and a lot more to do, preparing the Christmas meal or just planning it. And that can lead to, let's have a drink to relax or just to... That day's over now. Yeah.
Now, but listen, we're not saying don't drink. You know, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about how it affects us. And if we do want to drink, how we can make sure we take care of ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, most people aren't choosing to drink more. It's just that what's happening around them is pushing them into it.
Yeah.
And it's good to step back and say, well, actually, you know, I can moderate this or I don't have to do it.
Now, Uncle David is with another shot of whiskey.
Yes.
You know, how can you turn that down when he's got his Christmas hat on and his wonky tie and his Christmas waistcoat? What makes Christmas drinking feel harder to control, though?
I think it's the fact that structure sort of goes away. You know, the things we're normally used to aren't there anymore. And so when you go into a less structured sort of environment, you know, you actually you act differently.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the classic thing. It's late nights, it's early starts, you're sleeping less, irregular meals, and so. Yeah, I guess it's like, you know, there's also this huge pressure to have fun or to be fun.
Yeah.
Like, it's Christmas, let's go out.
Let's go out, absolutely. Been there, done that, got the sequin t-shirt, you know, we do. It's just like but I think, and I think also if for those that work in a very high pressured, busy job, going out for Christmas drinks after work over the Christmas period becomes more of a thing because they can.
Yeah.
You know, and everyone's kind of encouraging that. And also obviously Christmas parties.
Yeah.
Loads of them.
Yeah. I mean, there's loads going on here. And I think the key thing to do is to set yourself some anchors, you know, actually to combat this lack of structure. Plan a daily walk or plan to drink a couple of litres of water every day. Just put some things in place that you know you're going to add some more structure to your life. Make sure that you eat before you go out drinking.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the worst things to do is go out and drink a load of alcohol on an empty stomach. Yeah,
absolutely. how does alcohol affect anxiety, mood and sleep? Now, we've just kind of touched on that about how the pressures of the festive season can make us be irregular with our sleep, irregular with our routine. And of course, on top of that, you've got the added consumption of alcohol, which then adds to that, surely.
Yeah, I mean, if we take sleep, for example, I mean, there is a misconception or misbelief that alcohol, you know, makes you or gives you a good night's sleep. And yeah, it can knock you out and it can put you to sleep. But normally people wake up sort of a couple of hours after that and then find it hard to go back to sleep.
Yeah.
But it's the research shows it interferes with something what's called REM, so which is like a sleep where you're getting deep emotional reset. And you get very little of that if you've been drinking.
Yeah.
So what's important is to keep that in mind, that if you drink a lot in one go, then you're going to upset your sleep pattern. And you know that can really lead to all sorts of problems. You wake up in the middle of the night, and then it leads into the next thing, which alcohol does, which is cause anxiety. And in terms of, there's a saying in that it gives you hang-xiety. In the sense that, you know, you wake up the next morning or in the middle of the night wondering what you said the night before, because you're not used to drinking so much.
Yeah.
And a lot of people lose their memory about what happened. They can't actually remember it because alcohol does shut you down.
And it's
shut your memory down, so you can't remember. So, yeah, there's sleep, there's anxiety, there's also, it affects your mood massively as well. And you know, your outlook on life. If you're drinking a lot, you're going to be more down than up.
Yeah.
And so just bear that in mind you can go out and have fun and drink, yeah, but just keep in mind that the side effects or the knock-on effects of it can last, you know, sometimes maybe a day or 2 days afterwards.
Mm. You're going to go in from one hangover into another session.
Yeah.
And then, before you know it, Christmas is over and done with. The lovely Nigel Jones is with me. We're talking about Christmas drinks. What are the early signs that we're slipping into festive autopilot with the booze?
Okay, so there's a few.
Okay.
I guess the warning signs or the early warning signs are saying yes to drinks that you didn't genuinely want to have.
Right, okay.
That's a classic one. Or accepting top-ups. Without your glass emptying, I mean, you don't really know how much you're drinking.
Yeah.
I mean, that's dangerous, actually.
Yeah.
Because you could easily just drink too many units, put yourself over the edge. The other one is the mindset of, oh, I'll fix it all in January. You know, it's all right. It's December. Don't worry about it. I'll just keep going. Yeah. And it can catch up with you quite quickly.
Of course it can.
And put you into all sorts of things, you know, a state with like anxiety and things like that. So those are like the warning signs, and I think the red flags to watch out for are things like you're holding a drink before anybody else is. So you've got there
first.
Exactly. You feel uneasy if you haven't got a drink in your hand.
Yeah,
that's another red flag, I guess. And one of the ones you know I felt when I drank a few years ago was, you know, just feeling almost like, you know, the relief that you've got a drink in your hand. It's like, oh, I need that to sort of relax
or get through the day,
because
Christmas can be challenging. You know, we're going to talk about it in a little while, but it can be a challenging time for people, and we're going to talk about that. But how can we set boundaries around drinking?
Right.
I think this is important.
Yeah, completely. So it's good to say, right, well, you know, these are my rules around Christmas drinking. And they could be like, I have two drinks max.
Yeah.
That's it. It could be, okay, I'm only going to drink 0% or low alcohol or alcohol-free beers or drinks. And there's so many good alcohol-free beers around at the moment.
And ciders.
Completely. And so you know, Guinness Zero is lovely. I don't know if you tried Lucky Saint. That's really, really nice. So that's, they got IPA and lager one as well. And what they say on their, I've seen that on their website, is that they say you do this thing called zebra drinking.
Okay, so what's that?
So you basically have, first drink is alcohol free, or you know, say it's a zero. Guinness Zero or a Lucky Saint, and then the next one is an alcohol drink, and then you go back to the eight. So you're going white, black, white, black, white, black.
Yeah, okay.
and obviously you can have five drinks. If your first one is an alcohol-free drink, then you could have five drinks.
Yeah.
And three of them would be alcohol-free and two would be have alcohol in them.
That's a really great way of doing it.
But you could do the whole night then and have only but you'd stay on your maximum two drinks. Yeah. So let's say your rule is two drinks max. Couple it with Zebra-ing. So your first drink is an alcohol-free.
It's really good idea.
And then you've done it. You know, and because, you know, five drinks over a few hours, that's enough, isn't
absolutely.
It? That's too. You could also choose to drive. Just say, right, well, I'm driving. I'm the designated driver. Yeah. And there'll be no pressure at all on you to drink then, because, in fact, everyone will be probably buying you alcohol-free drinks and non-alcoholic drinks. Yeah,
definitely.
Another boundary, leave at a set time. So just say, right, well, it's 10 o'clock is when I leave you. And just stick to it.
Yeah.
Don't hang around till 12 if you're going at 10. So,
yeah.
You know, I think it's when you just sit back, it's quite easy to set these boundaries. But if you follow them, then, yeah, you're going to get through it and you're going to drink less and you're not going to sort of go over the limit.
Now, let's think practically here, because obviously there are factors that are going to make this trickier for some.
Yeah.
How can we moderate our drinking around Christmas in a more practical way?
So let's think about this in like a do's or don'ts in a way. I mean, we'll talk about stopping altogether a bit later, but I think if we're just going to moderate and we're carrying on drinking, but we're drinking less, there's things you can do, like, you know, have an alcohol-free drink, you know, in your hand, or just, you know, have definitely mix them into the portfolio of drinks that you're going to have on the evening. Definitely eat before you go out or to a party.
Line the stomach, as Dad used to say.
It's so important. I mean, it's so important. And if you're not drinking, and ring ahead to the pub or the bar you're going to, or the person's house you're going to, and ask if they do have any alcohol-free alternatives, or low alcohol beers, or whatever it is they've got. And if they don't, say, "Is it okay?
If I bring, most
people wouldn't have a problem with that.
No.
If you say I'm the designated driver,
yeah,
you know, they're not going to go no. You know, I mean, it's going to be fine. But it's all about planning, really. And, you know, it's back to what we said. You know, have a plan in place, and so nothing's going to be a surprise. The don'ts are, and this is really important: don't hang around the bar, because if you're standing next to the bar, you're gonna drink. You're going to be can I get you one? It's Christmas, you know, would you like one? I mean, hang around the bar if you want to drink a lot,
But
if you don't want to drink a lot, don't hang around the bar.
Yeah.
Say no to top-ups, you know, and because you don't, it could be a bottomless glass there and you could end up having a seriously bad hangover the next day.
And I think that, we're just going to cut in there. A lot of people do, like, oh, let's put money in for a rat, like a kitty.
Mm.
And then everyone puts 20 quid in and that covers all the drinks.
Mm.
You don't have to do that.
No.
If you decide, you don't have to do that. You can do it on your own. I think that pressure needs to be
lifted. And watch this one. This final one as well is, like, hold your drink in your non-dominant hand. Because if you hold it in your dominant hand, you'll sip more.
Yeah.
It just happens. If it's in your, say you're right-handed, hold it in your left hand and you won't drink it as much.
All these top tips. I'm loving this. We're going to be back with Nigel now. We're talking about Christmas drinks for the Feel Good Hour today. And now, look, there might be people that have actually made the decision to not drink at all over Christmas, which I think is wonderful.
Yes.
And also brave at the same time, because it's a really tricky time to do it.
Yeah, courageous.
But if you can do it this month, you can do it anytime.
Exactly, as Frank Sinatra once said.
if someone wants to give up over Christmas, how can they do it? And what tools, habits, mindset shifts do they need to make it possible?
Yeah, so I stopped drinking on December the 8th in 2020. So my first month of alcohol-free was a December.
Yeah.
And it is true, when you can get through December, you can really, you convince yourself you can do any month.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it is one of the toughest months of drink being all around. So the short answer to the question is it's all about identity change. You really need to believe you are a non-drinker.
Yeah.
And once you've done that, you make that change at the identity level, then everything just falls into place. So a few tips: if you are going completely zero and you're stopping altogether, obviously it's a nice build up to Dry January as well, kicks off 1st of January. So I'd say join a community, join a new tribe.
Yeah.
So the Try Dry app, which is from Alcohol Change UK, great. Download that. and that's got loads and loads of information on it. It's got tracking, journaling, long-term goals, but you get daily emails and things like that.
It's like support, like a support network.
It's like support in your pocket, on the phone. So do that. Buy a quick lit book, what they're called, like Stop Drinking book.
Yeah.
And obviously, I'm gonna say buy mine.
Buy Nigel's,
which covers the first 365 days of going alcohol-free. Look at the more closer to home. Look at the language you're using on yourself as well. You know, don't say I can't drink. Just say I don't drink.
Yeah.
Just start using different terminology and stuff. Learn how to manage your cravings. I think in the first month, it's really important to look what triggered you in the first place when you did drink. Yeah. So it might be a time of the day. It might be a person. That you know, once you meet that person, you go for a drink with them, or it might be a place. So there's lots of different triggers.
Yeah.
Once you're aware of the triggers, you can see them coming and you can deal with them more effectively, basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'd say definitely join a community, get yourself a stop drinking book, and watch out for your triggers.
And go for it. Now, obviously, making that change at this time of year poses kind of. Handling peer pressure at maybe work parties or family gatherings. How do people do that without feeling awkward?
Yeah, so, you don't owe anyone an essay on this. If someone asks you why you're not drinking, I mean, you can just tell them the truth and say, well, I'm doing it for my health. I've stopped drinking because I don't want to drink. But, one-liners are things like... I'm pacing myself. It's the reason why I'm not drinking much, I'm pacing myself.
Yeah.
Or I'm doing dry December. Or I'll just say I'm good, thanks. I don't fancy one at the moment. Yeah. You don't have to justify anything at all.
No.
I'd say have some tactics ready. So have a drink in your hand. Maybe it's a zero drink that looks like an alcohol drink. No one's going to ask you what's in there. If you've got a Guinness Zero in your hand, just say it's a Guinness. You don't have to say it's a zero.
No.
And no one will ask you after they've had one or two drinks. They won't be bothered about what's in your hand.
Absolutely.
And, stick with supportive people as well. You know, people will support you and the people aren't going to sort of push you into it. Go on, have one brigade. Yeah. You don't really need that if you really, really want to stop. And people have to respect what you want to do.
Absolutely.
I think a good thing as well is be the first to arrive, because then you can stake the joint out. And if you're not drinking. And be the first to leave as well. I mean, I often leave parties after 2 or 3 hours, because most people are sort of like in the very, very sort of, I wouldn't say drunk zone, but sort of like they're not really aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
So there's lots of things you can do. And again, on my website, there's a whole load of lines that you can use. And that's all in my book as well.
Brilliant. Walking Back to Happiness, available online. Now we talked about smart swaps earlier on, so alternatives, non-alcoholic alternatives that might make you feel a little bit festive.
Yeah.
And now obviously there's, lots of non-alcoholic drinks out there now. I don't drink when I go out now and I make alternatives. Is there any that you can...
Yeah, so I mean, not...
Guinness and...
Yeah, so the, my favourite at the moment is this thing called Mother Root. I don't know if you've heard of this.
No.
You can get it in quite a few supermarkets. I've seen it around, but it's basically like a ginger spirit.
Oof.
Obviously an alcohol-free spirit.
Yeah.
But it's lovely. So
nice.
It's quite pricey. It's in a sort of like mid £20 for like a 50cl bottle, but you get 20 drinks out of it.
Yeah.
So you pour it, as you would say, gin or something, over ice, and then add like a soda. But it's called Mother Root.
Sounds lovely.
And it gives you that sort of gingery, sort of flavoury burn on the back of the throat. It's really, really lovely.
That does sound good.
So I like that. Some of the bigger brands are doing their own versions. So you can get Captain Morgan Spiced Rum in Zero.
That's amazing.
Which is tasty. That's nice.
Yeah.
And then there's just the classic stuff, which is, like you can go for like just a normal ginger beer with lime or something, or spiced apple and cinnamon, or
non-alcoholic mulled wine.
Oh my God, that's so nice. We had some of that on the weekend, didn't we? At the lake
house. I love mulled wine, and Jay and I, it's a bit of a tradition in our house that we have it over the Christmas Eve. And
do you like it warm or cold?
Well, it has to be warm. Yeah. I have it either on the stove or in the slow cooker, and have a couple of glasses while we watch a Christmas film.
Any tips on how to make good mulled wine?
I buy it pre-made, but I, you know, chuck in some fresh orange.
Yeah.
Maybe some a stick of cinnamon.
Yeah.
Some cranberries in there. Maybe a squeeze of lemon juice. Yeah. But yeah, I absolutely love it. But I also, because I don't drink, I drink like elderflower tonic water.
Oh yeah, that's
with,
nice.
With
yeah.
Some an ice and a slice.
Yeah.
So it feels like I'm having a gin and tonic, but I'm not.
Yeah.
And obviously, let's do some cocktails. There's some great festive.
Yeah.
Mocktail recipes out there that you can find that can be an alternative and look great.
Yeah, and you know, and there's so many non-seccos now as well. Yeah, I mean, there's so many brands of them, and I think, you know, Aldi and Lidl do something like a $2.99 or $1.99 for a bottle. Yeah. You know, have that instead of champagne, and if you put it into like a fancy glass,
100%.
It tastes great. You know, honestly, it's really nice.
It's purely a mindset. They taste the same.
Yeah.
And they look the same. They just don't give you a hangover.
Look, a lot of this is ritual. So yeah, as you know, I stopped drinking 5 years ago, but I kept my sort of my whiskey glasses and my brandy glasses. And it's really nice pouring like an alcohol-free spirit over ice into a posh glass.
Oh, absolutely.
And just sitting down and sipping it. I mean, it's absolutely lovely.
Actually,
and you don't get a hangover.
I say being quite smug that you're probably the only one in the room that's going to get up the next morning feeling great.
up at 5:30, no problem.
No, I love it. Now, Nigel, obviously, there's lots of factors why people might over-drink. You know, we might have some pressure, maybe grieving, maybe lonely. Maybe the pressure of just being around all the family at Christmas can maybe tip us over. What's the healthiest way to handle the next day without feeling shameful or spiralling? Any tips?
Yeah, definitely. So if you're waking up with a seriously bad hangover or not how you would normally feel, yeah. I think, you know, you've got to hydrate. You've got to drink lots of water.
Yeah.
Make sure you eat as well, but the right stuff, not fried food.
Yeah.
Eats fruit.
That's a bit healthy.
Nice bowl of cereal. You know, literally. But drink a lot of water. Get out in the daylight as well. Sunlight is really, really good for you.
Fresh air.
So, I mean, obviously, if you can get up with a hangover, great.
Yeah.
But it'll do wonders to sort of see the sunrise. Move around. I mean, that's good as well. Just get some movement going. Whatever you do, don't starve yourself.
No.
Don't sit there doom scrolling, and don't catastrophize about everything, because you know, anxiety is a big thing.
I love that anxiety. Big thing. Huge thing.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
Look, from a personal perspective, you know, we mentioned at the top of the hour that you started your non-alcohol journey in December.
Yeah.
5 years ago.
Yeah.
Going alcohol free. What's changed and what's happened for you in the last 5 years since doing that, making that decision?
I was thinking about this last night, just before, you know, preparing for the show and stuff, and I'm five years alcohol free on Monday, which is the 8th of December.
Amazing. And congratulations.
Thank you very much. And I think I've saved around about almost £100,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's mental.
And that's not, you know, the amount spent on drink. It's the things all around it as well.
Yeah,
like
food.
Sort of the food, the missed trains,
taxis,
the hotels,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And it all adds up. And so that's massive. I think I worked out that I've had 1,826 hangover-free days.
Nice.
Which I used to dread hangovers. And it's just so nice waking up without a hangover. Just feel great. But one of the big things for me is my heart rate went down from some sort of like mid-60s to mid-50s. And I worked out that I'd saved over 5 years 26.3 million heartbeats. So my heart is doing approximately a year less work.
I love that.
So therefore, I don't know where you can prove it, but I've got a year more.
Yeah,
if everything goes
with
equal.
With that kind of statistics and working out that way, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And also, I'm sleeping every night 6.5 to 7 hours. So I'm getting literally something like 3,600 extra hours sleep because of not drinking alcohol.
Amazing.
And you know, and that can only be good in the long run for you.
Of course.
So there's loads of little things, you know, that they all add up. They seem tiny if you just looked at them in one day, but if you put them over a longer period, you know, the change is massive. I mean, one of the other things that I'd worked out was the amount of neat alcohol I have not drunk. So if you're just drinking like one glass of wine a day, you're drinking roughly 15 litres of alcohol a year. That's neat alcohol. Yeah. So over 5 years, that's 75 litres. Wow. And that's just on one glass of wine a day. Yeah. So not putting that through your body obviously has a massive effect on you as well. So, and yeah, I've lost weight. Yeah. But I think, you know, the biggest change for me really is clarity of mind.
Being present.
Yeah, just being sort of not having anxiety, being more in the moment, not worried about other stuff. And so, yeah, I think that's really, really powerful.
Amazing. Yeah. Well done, honestly.
Thank you. Thank you.
I've known people that are going through this journey themselves, and it can be really, really bumpy, you know?
There's
times that you feel that you can't do it, but to do it for such a long period of time, you know, yeah. It's great. So congratulations. I think it's amazing.
Yeah, and to any listeners out there, you know, who want to do this, please get in touch.
Absolutely.
It's all about joining another tribe, really.
So
leave the tribe you're in, join another one.
And actually, you can buy a book copy of your book for Christmas as well.
Yes.
If you fancy one, go on to Amazon. Welcome Back to Happiness by Nigel Jones. A great stocking filler, I would say.
Yes.
And look, I read it. I actually audio listened to it for 3 or 4 times now. But I'm not a drinker. So for me, it was changing the alcohol to food.
Yeah.
Same concepts, really,
yeah,
about how you change your attitude. So get a copy for Christmas.
Yeah, I get a lot of feedback from people who've stopped, just saying, you know, it's changed my life completely. And it's also just how you can use it for other habits as well. It's not just alcohol. It could be for smoking, vaping, food, whatever. Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming in. We're going to do a Feel Good Hour wrap up of 2025 when you come.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
We're going to cover a few things that we've talked about to wrap up before Christmas.
That's on the 19th, isn't it?
19th of December, we'll be back.